Okay, Genesis chapter 5. We ended chapter 4 with the lineage of Cain. And you remember the whole situation. And Lamech decided he'd take two wives instead of one. And then, of course, he killed someone. And he says it was in self-defense. And so if our forefather Cain, if he got protected, I should be protected seven times. You know, in other words, he thought he was pretty much something. You could see a real problem situation developing. Just leaving God out of everything. We talked about how God is left out of society. If you want to see what it's like and how it feels and what Solomon had to say about it, we've got the study we're going through on Mondays. We're going through the book of Ecclesiastes. What an interesting book to go through. And the CDs and the tapes are available to you. Check those out. Amazing. And here's what's going on. God is out of the picture. Except we meet this guy Seth in verse 26. Well, verses 25 and 26 of chapter 4. And the very end of chapter 4, verse 26 says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord," or literally proclaim the name of the Lord. See, it's like God had been almost forgotten in society. But then there are some, there's a lineage that belongs to God, just like there's a lineage that belongs to the devil. Cain's lineage. Well, watch this. Chapter 5 now comes in. The Bible study that you've heard taught, and I'm sure you've heard it, it's been around for a long, long time. I'm not going to do it because others do it so much better that I'll just leave that part alone. If you'd like to see the names of, the definition of the names, and you take a look at the definition of the names in Genesis chapter 5, you can see the gospel presented. But that's been done by so many for the last 20 years or so. I thought they've done it. Let's you just listen to them and go with that. I'm not going to do that. People go, "Oh, bummer." Well, yeah, I know. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created. We've been given a short list earlier of Cain's family, generations of Cain's family. Here in chapter 5, we get the generations of Adam's family all the way through Noah. Notice, everyone, there is a distinction between the generations of Cain's family and the generations of Adam's family. Although Cain was a son of Adam, he rebelled, he murdered his brother, and he wandered off into the land of wandering. And you've got two lines going here. Notice already in Genesis chapter 5, you've got two lines going. The ones that belong to God Almighty, or call upon the name of God Almighty, and the ones that belong to the serpent, the devil. Remember, there's a struggle between them. God said that there would be. And the struggle is going to be a long struggle. By the way, in case you haven't looked around, the struggle is not over yet. Between the line of Satan and the line of Jesus Christ. It is through Seth, not Cain, that the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, will come. Notice that? You've got two lines going on here. God mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, when he talked to the woman, and he said something like this, "I will put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the serpent." You see, there are lines, there are Jesus in the New Testament says to some people, "You are of your father, the devil. You're of that lineage. You're of that seed." And he was talking to the religious leaders. So already in chapter 5, we see a clear delineation between the line that follows the devil and the line that follows the Lord and belongs to the Lord. Interesting. Now, not every patriarch is listed in chapter 5. What we have listed are key patriarchs. You see, you're covering about 2,000 years of time. You're not going to list everyone that was born in those 2,000 years. I mean, you're talking. Scholars tell us that by the time Noah's flood, we call it Noah's flood, really wasn't his, he had nothing to do with it, but we call it Noah's flood. By the time that the flood came, there were probably 6, 5, 6, maybe even 7 billion people on the planet. As many as now, or even maybe a little bit more, by the time Noah, you know, got into the ark and that all happened. That's a lot of people, right? How many of those followed the Lord? I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's chapter 6, but 8 out of almost 7 billion. What did Jesus say? Many are called, few are chosen. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and listen, few there be that find it. I know that we just don't believe it. Believe it. I don't want to do chapter 6. I catch myself jumping into chapter 6. Here also, in the first two verses I read you, we have a reminder that man was created by God and in God's own image. You see, in chapter 5, we don't want to forget that. Why? Because we just read in chapter 4 about Cain murdering his brother, and then the kids that he had, one of them took two wives, and all of a sudden, just against everything that God has got to say, they're on their own without God. We don't want to forget how this all began. God created us, even though many choose to go the other way. Christian, is it possible to be a Christian and walk the wrong way? The answer is yes. The problem comes in when you and I, as Christians, continue to walk in a way that is unworthy. Continue to walk in a way that is not the way. There is a problem. Something is desperately wrong. And hopefully you're seeking the Lord in these issues. There is a question. Well, notice also, in verses 1 and 2. Male and female created he them. And called their name Adam. Now think about it. Just give that some thought for a moment. He brought the woman to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We will call her woman because she is from man. And the two became one flesh. And for this cause, because this is the way God did it, this is the way God set it up, he brought the man and woman together. For this cause, a man should leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife, which means stick to like glue, and the two should become one flesh. God sees them as one. I always wondered why he didn't come looking for Eve in the garden after they sinned. But the Bible just taught me he did. He called her when he said, Adam, where are you? You see, when he said Adam, it meant you, who you and I call Adam and Eve, both of them. They were one. And God says, Adam, where are you? He wasn't just speaking to the man. He was speaking to the team. In God's sight, they're one. And verse 3 says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, called his name Seth. Now, is that the only son that Adam had? Well, we already know that's not the case. So please don't ignore what's going on. Were there any daughters? Yes, there were. You'll read it later. But the truth is, Cain married a sister of his. There were daughters. We're not going to get everyone listed. This throws people off and it confuses them. But let me read it again. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and his image. And after his image, he called his name Seth. So let me ask you a question. Let me read it one more time. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Okay, here's the question. We all read the verse a few times over. So I'll ask you just a simple question. How old was Adam? How How old was he? I'll read it to you again. And Adam lived 130 years. How old was Adam? See how easy this is? You thought I was trying to trick you, didn't you? I'm not going to say it because he'll point to me. Adam is 130 years old. How old was he when he was created? He could walk. He could talk. He was so intelligent. He could name the animals. Looks like an elephant to me. So how old was he when God created him? Old enough to be full grown. He wasn't little. He didn't have to grow up. Didn't have to learn to walk. Didn't have to learn to talk. Didn't have to grow teeth. He could have French fries right away. So how old was Adam when he was created? Many people believe probably around 30 to 40 years old. But when he, right? I mean, God created him not as a baby, but as a full-grown man. So how old would he have looked on the day he was created? Let's just pick a number. 30. You get the point? If you don't get the point, then let's take it a little further. Adam, the Bible says, at this time, in verse 3, had only been on the earth for 130 years. But when he was created, he was a full-grown man. Listen, that means God made him full grown. Okay, let's just take it to its logical end then. Okay, so there's a guy out there telling me, Mr. Scientist tells me this. He says, this rock is a billion years old. And I go, okay, well, that makes perfect sense to me. Because it may be 10,000 years old, but God created it to look 1 billion. You get it? God created Adam to look about 30 years old. God created trees full grown. God created elephants already big. And they would go out and have puppies or whatever elephants have. I learned tonight, I'll use it, okay? I learned tonight that a group of crows is called a murder. So many things I don't know in this life. It's a murder of crows. Did you know that? Oh, science. I'm sure Adam probably thought of that. Do you understand my point? When someone looks at this rock and says, oh man, this got to be a million years old. God still could have created it today, couldn't he? And you could go, oh wow, yeah, this is an old rock. Yeah, God made it today. Adam, how old are you? Oh, you look like you're about 30. No, I was born this morning. I mean, Adam could honestly say that to his wife. When she says, were you just born yesterday? He could say, no, this morning. It was just this morning. He had an excuse. That tells me that the earth and all of God's creation, when scientists start to date things, I think, you know, God could have created you. If a scientist discovers this little plant he's never seen before, he says, oh man, this has been around for a million years. Well, certainly. I don't think so, but certainly it could look like that, couldn't it? How old was Adam? He had been on the earth 130 years. That's the way we're going to say that. And then he had this little baby Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, verse 4, were 800 years. Whew! 930 years old. And he begat sons and daughters. Oh, my goodness. Sons and daughters, and he lived to be 930 years old. I wonder how many kids he and Eve had. You know, it's always fascinating to me to walk through a graveyard, cemetery. Anybody else ever do that? You know, you're a really weird bunch. You do? It just amazes me. I'm fascinated when I walk and read the tombstones, you know, and sometimes you'll say, oh my goodness, that was just a baby. One person was only 3 years old total. This guy lived a long time, and there are scripture verses, and you see, the year they were born, and then that dash, and then the year that they died. And you know, it's the dash that's the most important part of the whole thing. But you don't know anything about it. You just see birth, dash, death. Man, you are living in your dash right now. You. This is your dash. I think you make it a good one. So when you greet one another next time, you know, just give them a hug. Say, Jesus loves you. How's your dash going? How's that dash? Because what we've got here in chapter 5 is basically walking through the graveyard, walking through the cemetery, looking when they born, when they were born, when, you know, the idea of how long they lived, name a couple of kids they had. Here in Genesis chapter 5, we have God's answer to Satan's lie. I'll read it to you again. Verses 4 and 5. The days of Adam after he'd begotten Seth were 800 years. He begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. This is God's answer to Satan's lie. Satan said, you shall not surely die. I want you to know, Adam did not die physically at the time he and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Neither of them died physically at that moment. They both died instantly spiritually. But God said, dying, you shall surely die. Satan said, no, you won't. God says, read chapter 5. Yes, they will. And Adam died just as God said he would. Just as God promised. At 930 years old. Listen to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Wages are what you earn. Gift is what is given to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, some say this. I was just reading the commentary on it today. Some say it is impossible for a man to live 930 years. That is just not possible. So scholars think this. It was probably months. And there was a misunderstanding. He lived 930 months. If he lived 930 months, he would have been just a little bit over 77 years old. So scholars say, we believe it's 930 months. And so I think, okay, well, they're smarter than me. But do the math. If it were months, that would mean that Seth had his first son at 105 months. That's 8.5 years old. Seth had his first son at 8.5. Enos had his first son at 7.5. Canaan at 6. Mahalalel, at 5.5. And Enoch at 5.5. You think those 5.5-year-old kids had sons? I don't think these are months. I think these are years. I don't think there's a question. And we'll talk about longevity when we get to chapter 6. Clearly, the people lived much longer before the flood than we do now. And clearly, aren't you glad? 930 years wrestling with income tax forms. You know, the break doesn't come until you're 763. You're going, I'll never hit that, man. I'm 109. By the time I hit 700, there won't be Social Security. I mean, I can see that. Oh, my goodness. The problems that. Seth lived, verse 6, 105 years. And I do believe it's years. I don't believe he had a kid at 8.5 years old. He lived 105 years, and he begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. You see, you've got where he started, where he ended, and there's that dash. Notice we're only seeing the dash. We're not being told what Seth did for a living, how he and his wife got along, any of the things he wrote, if he wrote any articles. Notice we get his dash. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Underline it. God's making a big statement here. And he died. Why? Because dying, you shall surely die. Separated from God. Well, Enos, verse 9, lived 90 years, and he begot Cainan. And Enos lived after he begot Cainan, 815 years, begat sons and daughters. Notice there's kids be born all over the place here. We're going to cover 2,000 years in chapter 5, just about 2,000 years. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. There it is again. There's the dash and the death. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. Place is getting crowded. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. Are you detecting a pattern? Everyone is dying. Now, they don't mention his wife or his daughters or those things, but guess what happened to them? Can you take a wild guess? Just off the top of your head, what do you think happened to the wives of these men? What do you think happened to even the children of the children of the children of these men? They died, everybody. God said in Genesis chapter 2, you eat of this fruit, the day that you eat of it, dying, you shall surely die. Death will come to all of us unless we are raptured. And this chapter happens to talk about the rapture. Death will happen to all of us. That is what's been appointed unto man. There will be an exception to the rule a few times, but for the most part, the general public gets to die. Feel better? Verse 15 says, Mahalalel lived 65 years, and he begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 890 and 5 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And the days and all the days of Jared were 960 and 2 years, and he died. So if this pattern is developed, you're walking through the cemetery, you're reading the gravestones, you see here, these people are dead. That's what happens. That's what God said would be. I know there are people today teaching you don't have to die. These Far Eastern teachings, the New Age movement teachings, where you can take this quantum leap in evolution. It is not for those of us of lower life form vibrations. But if you can take that, recognize the spark of divinity within and take that quantum leap in evolution, you can enter into the New Age. You can become part of the Oversoul. You can never physically die. You just go on and on. You know, there are healings with hands. There are healings with crystals. There are healings with mental telepathy. There are all these healings. So, if everything is healed and you've got the power and you learn how to do them, go on and on, what's the bottom line? If you're always healed, then you'll always be and you'll always go on. God says, no, you won't. Dying, you shall surely die. You're listening to the devil who says, you shall not surely die. You can create your own reality. You can be a Christian Scientist. And when you're in hell, all you got to go is, I'm not here. That's how they handle it. I just don't recognize the fact that that's not my nose across the street when that car hit me. No, I'm fine. And you think, come on, man, wake up and smell the Mitsubishi. Let's get real. Death comes to all. It's a promise God made. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now listen. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now I'm going to tell you something that the Bible makes clear. All of us are in Adam. That's how you were born. Adam and Eve, the mother of all living, that's where you came from. So you were born in Adam. And in Adam, what happens to all? Yeah, they die. But in Christ, in Jesus Christ, what happens to all? They live forever. You are born in Adam. You must be born again in Jesus Christ. Make sense? You must be born again from above. You must make sure. I must make sure. We must make sure that we have truly given our hearts to the Lord. So that the second death will never touch us. Because just as in Adam all die, in Christ Jesus all live, all have life. Well, let's see. Let me look at verse 21 here. Enoch, he lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Oh, what a name. Going to kindergarten, what's your name? Methuselah. You have to learn to spell that, you know. And Enoch walked with God after he begat, verse 22, after he begat Methuselah, 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters during that 300 years. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Oh my goodness. Everybody else is living in the 800s and the 900s. Poor Enoch. What happened to him? 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Ah, something different has happened. You're walking through the graveyard, and there's a little stone for Enoch, and it gives his little birth date, and there's a dash, but there's no death date. Everybody's dying, and it's appointed unto men once to die. But here we've got Enoch, and what does the Bible say about him? At 365 years old, he didn't die. Enoch was raptured. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. The language says this, Enoch walked with God. Hear that, everybody? Enoch walked with God. The term literally means, to walk with God literally means to fellowship in faith and trust and obedience. To simply fellowship with God in faith, trust, and obedience. Just to walk with God. Enoch walked with God every day. And you know, they just kind of hang out, be walking with God. And the Bible says he walked. That means in faith and obedience and trust, in fellowship. And the Bible says, the language is, God literally took him away. Away from where? Home? Yeah. Away from where? Away from the earth. God took him away. Where'd he go? Well, he was not. There was nowhere that you could find him. Why? He was not. For God took him away. God took him to heaven. Enoch got raptured. It's going to happen to a guy named Elijah a few thousand years from this point. In the midst of all the records of those that lived and died, Enoch lived and never died. He lived and he never died. He was taken away. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, we read this, by faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. In other words, Enoch didn't die. And he was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. That literally means in obedience, in faith, in trust, and in fellowship. He pleased God. Now, verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch walked with God in simple faith. You know, the same verb is used in 2 Kings chapter 2 to describe Elijah's experience. He was translated or taken into heaven by the whirlwind. Remember that? God took him also. The word translated, Enoch was translated, Elijah was translated. The word translated in Hebrew, they're used in Hebrews, explains just what happens. It means God took him, but he had to be translated. What that means is simply this. Your earthly body, my earthly body, Enoch's earthly body, Elijah's earthly body cannot live in heaven. It is corrupt. It is of the earth. It's dirt that God breathed life into. It won't function in heaven. You cannot take this body. It needs to put off this corruption, this mortality. It needs to put it off. He had to be translated before he could go to heaven. Enoch, Elijah, and by the way, if you are raptured, you too, me too, we must be translated. We must be changed because this corrupt can't go to heaven. The way that I usually explain it is this. This is our earth suit. What you're wearing now is your earth suit. Whether it's attractive or not, that's up to you. But this is your earth suit. It works on the earth. You can get around on the earth. You can function around the earth because this is your earth suit. If you were to go into space, maybe to go to the moon, and you're going to do a little spacewalk, what would you wear? Your earth suit? No, your earth suit's with you, but you have to wear what? You'd have to wear a space suit because your earth suit cannot function in space. It won't work. If you go down, even on the earth, maybe you're going to go down, do a little deep sea diving. What do you wear? You wear some special equipment because this earth suit won't function. As a matter of fact, if you're going to go very deep, you wear a deep sea diving suit. Not just your earth suit, but you need a deep sea diving suit. So, listen, guys, take the logic all the way through. It makes perfect sense. Heaven is holy. That's where God Almighty lives. He says, you are coming there. Now, I made you dirt. You are a dirt ball, and you're saved by grace through faith. But I'm going to bring you home someday. And when I do, we can't have dirt in heaven. So what are you going to do with me, God? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery, something that's been hidden up to now is what he means. We shall not all die, but we shall all be translated or changed because we're dirt. We're made of the dirt. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, speaking of our body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. You want to go to heaven? You can't take your earth suit there. You got to have a heaven suit. You have to be clothed in righteousness and have a resurrected body. And so it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Put this all together now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll read verses 15 through 18. Paul just told us we're going to change in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 18. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those which have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those Christians that have died and gone on before us, their bodies will be raised from the grave first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're to comfort each other with the fact that, and then we put them 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 together. We're going to rise into the air off this planet just like Jesus did. He ascended straight off the ground, and the disciples watched him go, kind of like a hot air balloon. They watched him until they could see him no more. You're going to raise off the ground that way too? Well, it's going to be quicker. Here's what happened to Enoch. Because the Bible says he walked with God and God took him. They're walking daily and they talk and he says, Lord, I don't understand this. And Lord, I'm having trouble with my attitude here. And some of the kids are getting on my nerves, Lord. Hey, I'm sure he had a lot of them. Says he had sons and daughters, had lots, right? And he's just talking these things over with the Lord. And he's walking with the Lord. And every day, he walked with God. Then one day, as he was walking with the Lord, he looked at his watch and said, Lord, my goodness, the time's gotten away from me. I'd better get home because my wife's going to be wondering what happened. And the Lord said, Enoch, look, you're closer to my house than you are to yours. Come on home with me. And Enoch went on home. He didn't die. He was translated. He was changed. His mortal put on immortality. His corruption took on incorruption. And he was taken in his heaven suit now to be with the Lord. Now, some people believe that he will die. In other words, some people believe he is one of the prophets who will return in the book of Revelation. You can go back and read through that. So that's speculation. If you think that's a bummer he didn't get to die, well, maybe. You know what's going to happen to you, Christian? What's going to happen to you someday? And I believe soon. You're going to be walking with the Lord also. You're going to hear the shout. You're going to take a deep breath. And it's going to be the freshest air you've ever had. And you're going to be in the air in the presence of God. Says we'll meet him in the air, never to leave his side. Listen, the Bible says never to leave his side ever again. Never. That means in the book of Revelation chapter 19, when he returns to earth on a white horse, and I can't ride, when he returns and the armies of heaven with him, guess who will be with him? Me and you. Because we will never leave his side ever again. So I guess they're going to have lessons in heaven. Bob, just hang on. They'll have a special horse for me. His name will be Roger or something like that. You know, one of those that you ride to, the, you know, and then he'll be easy to ride. He probably won't run down. I'll be at the end, probably shoveling what the other horses are leaving behind. That's what all this training for in Idaho is all about, I think. All this shoveling, I'm sure. I think I figured it out. Enoch named his son Methuselah. Literally means, when he is dead, it will be sent. That's what it means. Methuselah means, when he dies or when he's dead, it will be sent. What will be sent? I'll cheat, tell you. The flood. Because Enoch died. Or the year that, I'm sorry, Methuselah. The year that Methuselah died was the year of the flood. Enoch named his son when he dies. It will be sent. The Bible says this, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 780 and 2 years, begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. So if you want to freak someone out, and this works almost every time, you look at them and say, who's the oldest man in the Bible? And of course, if they think really hard, they say, Methuselah. And that's the truth. But you ask, then how is it possible that his dad lived longer than him? Methuselah is the oldest living man in the Bible, but his dad lived longer than him. You figure that out.
His dad got raptured. Okay, you're all going, carry the one. I don't know. Methuselah lived the longest of all the recorded, all these recorded. From here on out, lives will get shorter. Methuselah lived the longest, 969 years. Let me say it again. Methuselah, of all that are recorded, lived the longest of every one of these patriarchs. And from the flood on, you'll notice that the ages drop way, way down. Methuselah lived the longest. Why Methuselah? His name meant, when he dies, it will be sent. We know we're talking about the flood. Listen, guys, listen closely to what we're learning. I think what we're seeing here is God let him live the longest. Why? To give everybody a chance to quit it. To give everyone an opportunity, a longer opportunity to turn around, to give it up, to repent, to come back. God is so kind, so good, so filled with mercy that Methuselah lived 969 years and the flood came. First Peter 3:20. Talking about the people that lived before the flood, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, were in few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Notice Peter mentions it was the long suffering of God. Methuselah lived so long, because when he dies, it will be sent. When Methuselah dies, the flood is coming. And God let him go and let him go and let him go. And who did he do it for? Methuselah? Just really want you to live. Well, yeah, him too. But he did it for all mankind. Notice. Hey, everybody. Where are you at in your Christian walk? Has it become so ingrained in your heart that you would never dream of doing anything else? Has it become the very reason? Is it God the very reason that you live? Just to serve Him. Doesn't matter what I get to do. Doesn't matter where I get to do it. He gave me life, and all I want to do is just the rest of my life give Him everything I am and everything I have. That's all I want. Is your heart there? Because I think that we have not been raptured because of God's mercy. See, I kept thinking we'd be raptured in 73. Man, I was ready. We were doing rapture drills. I was excited. I thought we're going to be raptured before New Year's. We are going. Then 74, then 75, you know. And every year, I'm telling you right now, I think he's going to be here before 2004. I just think so. But you know something? He is so kind. He is so compassionate, so filled with mercy that we haven't been raptured yet. He's waiting for you. Would you hurry up? Would you quit playing this game with him? Would you either get all the way in or get all the way out? Don't be a hokey pokey Christian. Put your right leg in, take your right leg out. You know, it's cute in the song, but it doesn't work in our walks. And see, there are some of us who really do want to get out of here, knowing there is nothing down here for us. There is nothing we're really interested in. I don't want to do anything the rest of my life but teach the Bible. I don't want to know really much else about anything. I don't want to be a rocket scientist. All I want to do is teach the Bible until he comes back. And I'm praying that he comes back soon. And Methuselah had a son. Called him Lamech. And in verse 27, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Flood's coming. And Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son, called his name Noah, saying, this baby, oh man, he's excited about his boy. He says, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and our toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. You know, I don't know much about what this dad felt, but you know, you can see here his wife says it's a boy, or somebody tells him it's a boy, and he thinks, I'm hoping this guy does some good with his life. Maybe he'll help all of mankind. You know, he's got some high hopes for that little baby. I think you see parents are that way. They find out that they've just had a baby, and you think, oh, Lord, let this little one do something for you. Let him turn out, or let her turn out. Let this child be for your glory. And Lamech lived after he had begat Noah 595 years, begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777. I'm sure that people with numbers just flip over that. 777. And he died. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We meet Noah. His dad had high hopes for his boy. Maybe he'll help all of mankind. High hopes. Maybe Noah will bring comfort to his people. That's how the chapter ends. Noting that there's hope. His dad says, maybe this kid will comfort, bring comfort because of all the toil. God is so very patient. He calmly waits. Gracious, full of mercy, gives me and you a chance to repent, to come to him, to quit playing with the world, to get out of it, to, by his strength and his power, come all the way in. Get spirit-filled, just baptized in the Holy Spirit and on fire, not to get freaky and weird, but just to serve the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, just with everything you got. You know, and even tonight, he gives us a chance to repent. He gives us a chance to recommit our hearts, our lives, knowing that he loves us, that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross at Calvary, to wash our sins away, to give us eternal life, so that we just trust him and walk with him the rest of our lives. I really want to encourage you to give it some serious prayer, to make sure that your heart is where it belongs, to get out of the lifestyles that some of you are in, out of the habits, out of this partial part Christianity. We have divided hearts if we're not careful, and a divided heart gives us a divided head and an unstable a double-minded person, the New Testament teaches, is unstable in everything. They're not solid. They're not grounded. They're drifting. That's not what you and I want, not in the days that we live today. So many people attack us. So many people say things they shouldn't say. Don't listen to them. Keep your ears on what God has got to say. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Trust in the Lord. If you don't belong to him tonight, we're going to worship just a few minutes. All you need to do is just say, Lord, I want you in my heart. I confess my sin. I want you in my life. And then if you do that, pray that, then come on up when we're done and let somebody know, and they'll pray with you. But let's bow our heads now.